Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Well, g'day The Rocks Church. How are you? Fantastic, wonderful. Hey, it is so good to be with you finally, live and in person in the room for the first time, not as a guest speaker, but as a member of the family. So thank you so much for your warm welcome and it really is wonderful just to be with you. I want to add my welcome as well to all those joining us today for the first time. We are absolutely delighted to have you here, and we don't take for granted the fact that you would choose to spend part of your weekend with us. So put your feet up, make yourself at home, and I hope that you thoroughly enjoy your time with us today. Now, question, how many of you have ever received a gift that you reckon changed your life? And I mean, changed your life like in a good way. It made your life simpler or easier or better. Let me see your hand. Give me an enthusiastic wave. Yep, if you reckon you got a gift that changed your life positively. All right. And for those of you who've raised your hands, how many of you that was a Thermomix? Let me see, right hands. Anybody got a Thermomix? Let me see your hand. How many of you love the Thermomix? Hey, listen, I don't have a Thermomix. And I'm not a sales rep for Thermomix. I don't have shares in Thermomix. This sermon isn't sponsored by Thermomix. But I've heard via the grapevine that Thermomix is a life changer if you spend a lot of time in the kitchen. But that is the nature of gifts, right? Gifts have the potential and the power to change our lives. And whenever you get a great gift that is life-changing in a positive way, you love it, you appreciate it, you value it, you treasure it, you nurture it, and you hold on to it. And today I want to talk about another gift that has quite literally the power and the potential to change your life. Without a word of exaggeration, this gift can profoundly and powerfully and positively change your life. And this gift happens to be the third thing that we are exploring in our series at the moment on our shared life together as a faith community. So if you are here today for the first time, this is week three of a four-part series, and we're looking at what life inside a faith community like ours can be like when all of us just simply make a deep and meaningful commitment to certain things that lie at the very heart of what it is to be a follower of Jesus. And we've explored some already, and today we're going to look at the third, which is recorded for us in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And it says here, all the believers, right, all the believers, devoted themselves, because how many of you know you can't devote me, I can't devote you. All of us need to make a decision for ourselves about who and what we will devote ourselves to in life. And so it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper or communion, and to prayer. To prayer. All the believers devoted themselves to prayer. And that is the gift that we are talking about today. And I thought the best place, you know, to turn for a conversation about prayer would be to the master teacher and to the gift giver himself, Jesus, because he has some profound and important things to share with us about the subject of prayer. However, before we get to what Jesus had to say about it, I'm very aware that for many people, particularly those who are new to faith or perhaps just exploring church life, prayer might be quite unfamiliar. And maybe even a little unsettling and confronting. And so we have a little prayer primer video that we want to share with you today that will give you some sense of what to expect when you encounter and experience prayer in the life of a church like ours. And those of you who've been around church long enough know that prayer can be strange. Prayer can sometimes be weird. There are so many different styles and approaches to prayer. So I think you're going to find this helpful, and I think you're going to find this enjoyable. So have a look at the screens and check this out.
Let's pray.
Dear God, we want to thank you for Playgroup, which is on Wednesday in the Playgroup Hall for kids under four. Bring $5 and a plate of food. Amen.
Gracious, merciful, powerful, loving, supreme, kingly, sovereign.
We just
want to
thank you for who you are.
Oh, Father God, we thank you so much, Father God, for being our Father and our God. And Father God, we just pray again for Father God.
Thank you for the perichoretic union that exists in the Godhead, enabling us to extemporaneously follow Christ's intercessory example.
God, we thank you so much for sending your brother Jesus so that he could come and save us from the dragons. Amazing, gentle.
We pray all this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And Lord, we thank you for this service.
Fatherly, beautiful, majestic.
Dear God the Father. Sorry. Father God, I just want to pray for...
We just pray that you would forgive Josh for not giving me my $10 back. He knows not what he does. And I just thank you in advance that he will give it back to me tonight. Amen.
Lord, you are never going to give us up. You are never going to let us down. You are never going to turn around and hurt us.
Oh, that's gold, man. How many of you heard prayers like that? Come on, be honest. They've been around. I like the sneaky rebuke. That's my favorite one, right? I reckon I've used that a few times. But so we're talking about prayer today. And today we're going to turn our attention to what Jesus had to say about prayer. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 7. In his great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus offers us some profoundly practical and incredibly valuable insight into the nature of prayer. So reading from verse 5 of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. And when you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him." Now, just so far, you may have noticed in the space of those three short verses, Jesus repeated a phrase three times. And it is the phrase, "when you pray." When you pray. I find it interesting that Jesus did not say if you pray, but when you pray. In other words, Jesus makes the assumption that prayer is a given. It's understood to be good and godly and right and beneficial. Like, Jesus doesn't take any time whatsoever to try and convince or persuade his listeners that prayer is a good thing and a godly thing and a right thing. It's just understood to be the case. And there's an implied presupposition there that if we are going to be followers of Jesus, then we're going to be people of prayer. Because that's what followers of Jesus do. They pray, right? It's par for the course. It just comes with the territory. That's what we do. And I reckon that the secret or the key to becoming a person of prayer or a follower of Jesus who prays is understanding that prayer is a gift. Prayer is a gift. Prayer is not a religious duty. Prayer is not an obligation. Prayer is not like another thing on that long list of endless things that we think we need to tick off in order to be right with God or to kind of earn brownie points with God. No, prayer is a privilege, and prayer is an opportunity, and prayer is an invitation, and prayer is a gift. And so when we understand what prayer is and what prayer does, I reckon all of us will be praying a heck of a lot more, right? And in a lot of ways, prayer is to the soul what breathing is to the body. In other words, it is life-giving. It is vital and it is essential. You know that when mountaineers scale these enormous mountains, I mean really big mountains like K2 or Everest or some of the world's largest mountains, very often what they experience is a phenomenon called altitude sickness. When they get above a certain elevation, the air begins to thin out, and because there isn't adequate oxygen in that air, they experience this phenomenon called altitude sickness. And so they begin to feel disorientated and confused, and they feel lethargic and weary, and they feel really unwell. And not only are they at risk of getting lost, but they're actually at risk of dying. It's a pretty serious condition, right? And I reckon that it's like that when it comes to prayer. You see, when there is prayerlessness in your life, when you haven't learned to master the art of weaving prayer into the fabric of your everyday living, when you haven't built it into the rhythms and the routines of your daily life, you will very quickly, spiritually speaking, begin to feel lethargic. You begin to feel weary. you'll begin to feel unwell. You'll begin to feel disorientated and confused, like there's a fog around your head and around your heart. You'll feel like you lack clarity and you lack direction and you just don't really feel yourself. You feel like something's not right. And of course, conversely, the opposite is true. When you have learned to pray and you have learned to build prayer into the rhythm of your everyday living and into the fabric of your everyday life, then you feel the opposite. You feel energized and you feel refreshed and you feel sharp and you feel clear. It's like your spiritual senses come into focus and you feel like you have direction and you have energy and you have clarity in your heart and mind, right? Prayer is like just breathing in a deep breath of beautiful, crisp, fresh, oxygenated air, right? Prayer is like life to the soul. And the problem is that so many believers only ever turn to prayer when the Prozac wears off or the pasta wears out. In other words, prayer becomes like the last resort, right? But how many of you know God never intended for prayer to be a service center call? Do you know what I mean by that? It's like when you have a problem with your mobile phone, or maybe like you want to change your health insurance policy or call the bank or something, you phone up a number and you get through to a service center. And you speak to a stranger on the other end of the line and you tell them your problem. And hopefully they're able to sort out your problem. And if they do sort out your problem, then you thank them, you hang up, and you never call them again. Hopefully, for maybe like another 18 months until you have another problem. Well, sad to say, so many believers treat prayer like a service center call. And the only time they ever pick up to talk to God is when they have a problem, and unfortunately they're talking to a stranger. And so God never intended for prayer to be like a service center call. Prayer is fundamentally relational. At its very heart, it's the two-way dynamic of conversation with God that is woven into our everyday living. It's not mechanical. And by that I mean prayer is not a mechanism that we leverage in order to get things from God, right? Prayer is not a button you push or a lever you pull in order to get things from God. Prayer is not a bell that you ring to call the divine waiter over, right, to serve you. No, prayer is inherently relational, and it lies at the very heart of our relationship with God. And so Jesus here in Matthew chapter 6 has some really profound and important things to teach us about the nature of prayer as this two-way conversation with God. And he says that our lives as followers of Jesus, our prayer lives, should be characterized by three things. And the first is this aspect of sincerity. Sincerity. So in verse 5 of Matthew 6, Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. How many of you have ever been in maybe a service like this, or a prayer meeting, or maybe a connect group gathering, and somebody begins to pray out loud, and about 30 seconds into the prayer, you've kind of all figured out they're not talking to God, right? They're talking to the rest of the room. They're trying to get their point across. They're trying to maybe persuade somebody or convince somebody of something, or they're trying to impress somebody, or they're trying to sneakily reveal a secret, right? You just know they're not really talking to God, right? That's insincerity. That's ulterior motive. That's a hidden agenda. And that's what Jesus says should not characterize our prayer life. And unfortunately, in Jesus' day, the people who were the most guilty of that kind of insincerity were the Jewish religious leaders, because they would stand on the street corners and in public gatherings, and they would pray these eloquent, beautiful, self-righteous and self-aggrandizing prayers with much fanfare as a way of demonstrating their spirituality and their superiority to the people. And Jesus says, hey, God's not interested in that. God wants authenticity. God wants sincerity. God wants honesty, because authenticity lies at the very heart of true faithfulness and of our faith in Jesus. And that's why I love to hear kids pray. I love the way children pray, because children pray with authenticity and they pray with honesty. They pray with sincerity. Like, I heard a story about a girl who was helping her mom in the kitchen as she was preparing a meal for some guests who were coming over in the evening. And evidently the mom was quite flustered and overwhelmed by all the preparation, but she managed to get it all done. And so that evening they sat down around the dinner table and the guests gathered around. And just before they ate, the mother turned to her daughter and said, darling, would you like to say grace for us? And her daughter was just 6 years old, said, mommy, I don't know. I'm not sure what to say. And she said, oh, don't be silly. Just say what you've heard me say. And so the daughter thought, okay. So she closed her eyes and she folded her hands and she said, "Dear Lord, why on earth did I invite these people to dinner today?" Oh, you gotta love kids, man. They're just so honest and so sincere and so authentic in the way they pray. Like the little boy I heard about who went to bed and his dad was tucking him in, and just before he went to sleep, he took a moment to pray and he said, "Dear Lord, please look after me and my brother and my sister and my mom and my dad and my dog. And Lord, please look after yourself, because if anything happens to you, we're all stuffed." Right? There's an honesty and a sincerity in the way children pray. And that's the kind of honesty and sincerity that God is looking for in you and me. And so prayer at the end of the day ought to be nothing more and nothing less than a sincere and authentic expression, right, of your personal thoughts and feelings to God while you are in conversation with Him. The second thing that Jesus said ought to mark our prayer lives, if we're going to pray like He prayed and pray as He wants us to pray, is perhaps somewhat surprising, but it's the element of secrecy. Secrecy. And so in verse 6, Jesus says, "But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. And your Father who sees everything will reward you." Now, can I just say straight off the bat here that when Jesus says this, He's not for a moment suggesting that we should not pray publicly and that we should not pray corporately. Jesus Himself prayed publicly and He prayed corporately. All the first followers of Jesus prayed publicly and corporately. So Jesus is not saying don't do that. But what Jesus is doing here is He is giving us the key to the first point of sincerity. Because secrecy is the pathway to sincerity. What Jesus is doing here is He is teaching His disciples the importance and the priority of serving God in the secret place. Because serving God in the secret place is the pathway to serving God sincerely. You see, friends, the world that we live in today and the day and age in which we live is almost obsessed with externalities. Everybody is primarily preoccupied with appearances and with image and with perception and how they are seen and experienced by others, what they look like and what others say about them. We are obsessed with those things. In fact, if you think about it, on your way to church today, you took time to prepare before you came. But I guarantee you the majority of that preparation would have been about the externalities. It would have been about what you're going to wear and what you're going to do with your hair and whether or not you're going to wear makeup. And you probably spent a lot of time on those externalities. But how much time did you spend preparing your heart or preparing your mind for this experience today? Probably not a whole lot, because we are so public life orientated. And so what Jesus is doing here is He's inviting His disciples to step into the secret place. And by secret place, I mean that part of your life that is hidden from everybody else. That part of your life that's known only to you and to God. The part of your life that is outside of the public spotlight. And He's inviting us to step into that space and to serve God there. To encounter God there. You know why? Because when you are in the secret place and it is just you and God, there can only be truth. There can be no insincerity. There can be no lack of authenticity. There can only be honesty. You know why? Because you can't pull the wool over God's eyes. You can't pretend with God to be something you're not. You can't convince God that you are something that you aren't. You can't deceive Him. You can't convince Him. You can't impress Him. When you are alone with God, you just stand naked in all that you are, for better, for worse. And for whatever you are in the secret place, that is the truth and the reality of who and what you are. And so Jesus calls us into the secret place to serve God there and to love God there and to meet God there, because when we do, we meet Him sincerely and honestly and authentically. And so when Jesus says, come into the secret place and meet God there, He's doing so because it purifies our motives. When you serve God in the secret place, you do it simply because you sincerely and truly want to. Because there's nobody there to impress. There's nobody there to applaud you and reward you and affirm you and congratulate you for your wonderful spirituality. Nobody but God. And so it purifies and refines our motives. So does Jesus want us to pray publicly? Absolutely. Does Jesus want us to pray corporately? Absolutely. But he wants us to do it as the overflow of what is happening personally and privately. He wants it to be the overflow of the authenticity and the truth that is forged in the secret place. And so he calls us and invites us to serve him there and to encounter God there, because secrecy is the pathway to simplicity. And then finally, or sincerity. Finally, the third thing that should characterize the prayer lives of those who are followers of Jesus, if we're going to pray like he prayed and pray in the way he wants us to pray, it's this element of simplicity. Simplicity. Verse 7 says, when you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask. Hey, the good news is, to be effective in prayer, you don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to be theologically educated. You don't even have to be theologically accurate, right? You don't have to have all the right words and all the right phrases and say them at all the right time. You just have to come simply and honestly and sincerely and humbly before God and bring him the thoughts and the burdens of your heart and to bring it to him in conversation. You know, when I was early on in my faith journey, in my early 20s, somebody once gave me a gift, a book on prayer. And it was certainly a well-intentioned and sincere gift. But the author of this particular book had taken prayer and pretty much categorized it into like 27 different types. And the underlying premise in this book was that, you know, in order to be effective in praying, you have to pray the right prayer in any given situation. So he spoke about the prayer of lament and the prayer of repentance and the prayer of confession and the prayer of binding and loosing and the prayer of thanksgiving and the prayer of this and the prayer of that. And he was kind of advocating this idea that if you want to pray effectively, you've got to know what prayer to pray in which circumstance. Well, to be honest with you, I got halfway through the book and I was more confused than a termite in a yo-yo. So I just got rid of the book, right? Because as beautiful and as wonderful and as profound as prayer is, at the end of the day, it's a lot more simple than we make it out to be. And all God really wants is for us to come honestly and sincerely and authentically and truly, to come with our own words and with our own feelings and our own thoughts and our own heart, and to bring that to him in conversation. Simple language, simple requests, simple thanks. And friends, I guarantee you that when you do, you will feel your life begin to change. You'll feel your heart begin to transform. You will feel the fresh breath of God begin to fill your soul and to fill your life. And it will not only profoundly change your life and your heart, but it will profoundly change the life of our faith community when we make a deep and meaningful whole of life and all of self commitment to this incredible gift called prayer. And this morning, what I want us to do for just a few minutes together is to take the opportunity to do exactly what we've been talking about this morning. I've asked the band to join me here on stage for this moment because for the next 2 to 3 minutes max, they are going to play a little instrumental piece, and I'm going to invite you in those few minutes to just simply lean into a conversation with God. I'm going to invite you to do what we've spoken about, and that is come personally and privately to God in the secret place, in the sanctuary of your own heart, and to come humbly and sincerely and just have a conversation with him for a few minutes. Now, you might be full of gratitude this morning and you might just simply want to say to God, hey, I'm so thankful for all that you are and all that you've done, and just express that gratitude to him today. Maybe you're here today and you're really tired and frustrated and disappointed and you just need to vent. You just need to let it all out, right? Well, I've got good news. God is a great listener. And he's not offended by our frustrations and he's not disappointed in our disappointments. He's ready and waiting to hear you express your heart to him today. It may be that you've never prayed like this before in your life. You may not even consider yourself to be a person of faith today, but here's my invitation to you. I want to encourage you in this moment to just simply say something like, hey, God, like, if you're real, would you make yourself real to me? Would you give me a sign? Would you show me that you love me? You might feel a little weird doing that, but I want to encourage you to do that and have a conversation this morning with him. This might be the first time in a long time that you've done something like this. So for the first 30 seconds, you might feel a little awkward, but I just want to encourage you to lean in for a couple of minutes. So here's what I want you to do. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Just take a moment to Shut out the distraction around you. Just lean back in your seat or lean forward, whatever you're comfortable doing. And just in the sanctuary and the quietness of your own heart, just have a conversation with God. And I'm going to rejoin you in a couple of minutes and we're going to pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, this morning we want to just thank you so much for the access that we have to you. We want to thank you so much for your availability and for the invitation that you've extended to all of us to just come boldly and confidently and humbly to your throne of grace, knowing that we come to a God who loves us and who cares about us, who sees us, who knows us and understands us and has accepted us and included us. And Father, I pray this morning that you would help each and every one of us to continue the conversation that started in this moment with you throughout the course of this day. And help us to continue that conversation in the days and the weeks that lie ahead. I pray, Father, by the grace and power of your Holy Spirit, draw each and every one of us ever deeper into ongoing conversation with you. Help us to see the gift that conversation is. And I pray, Father, that you would continue to work with us and in us and through us so that your purpose might be served and your name might be honored. And we ask it all in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone who agreed said, amen, amen. God bless you, everybody. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.